You're listening to the Archaeology Podcast Network.
You're listening to the Great Plains Archaeology Podcast. Join me as we uncover the rich histories of North America's Great Plains, exploring the latest archaeological discoveries and past cultures that shaped this storied region. Welcome to the podcast. Welcome to the Great Plains Archaeology Podcast. I am your host, Dr. Carlton Shield, Chief Grover, and I am thrilled to have you join me on this journey through the rich and fascinating history of North America's Great Plains. I'm going to take my gum out because I know that drives everyone absolutely Looney Tunes, and especially in episodes like today, where I am recording by myself and lecturing into your ear holes. I often do not think about the lip smacking and whatever else I'm doing. And I too, dear audience, am horrified when I listen back to those and realize just how much noise is caught, even by my studio rig. I mean, the microphone, boom, the earphones, these are all things that I purchased almost a decade ago for Life in Ruins. It is definitely time for an upgrade for many of things in my life. But today, I want to reflect on a recent event that I got to take part of for Archaeology Month here in the Free State, Kansas. So April is Archaeology Awareness Month in the state of Kansas. My friends and colleagues at the Office of the Kansas Historical Society, the Office of the State Archaeologist, had a bunch of events. Mine was not one of them. And for those that follow my Instagram, where that's kind of like the only place I really do engagement now, I should probably be a lot better about it. You might have noticed I did a public event for Archaeology Month. And so I wanted to kind of provide some background to talk about the importance of public outreach. And so we need to step in our time machines real quick and dial back to January 29th of 2025. In that, this was an event held by the Office of Sovereign Partnerships and Indigenous Initiatives here at the University of Kansas. And this Indigenous Education Summit was a professional development opportunity for pre-service and in-service teachers in partnership with the Kansas Department of Education, which was focusing on improving K through 12 classroom education. And during this summit, it was only a day, it was from like 8 a.m. to 3:45, participants learned from Indigenous studies experts and leaders of tribal nations in and connected to Kansas. And it facilitated teacher Q&A and small discussion groups, which were included throughout the day. And this was hosted with KU, Kansas State University College of Education. We also had Kansas State Department of Education present. It was fantastic. And I happened to be one of the presenters. And so I did like a brief survey. And what I was asked to do by the Vice Chancellor for the Office of Sovereign Partnerships and Indigenous Issues, Dr. Alex Redcord, to kind of give like this overview of Indigenous societies in North America. And so like I had like 30 minutes and it wasn't the best thing I did. I had a colleague, you know, did let me know like, hey, some of my Hopewell stuff was not correct. It's like, dude, I don't study Hopewell. I'm a lot better at it now, but that's what I talked about. And so I was just, you know, I went through the breadth of what was going on, chiefdoms, city states, trade. And a lot of these educators just didn't like know this stuff. And so I did try to focus on a kid. I'm sorry. I'm so yawning, audience. I'm recording this on a Saturday. Usually I record on Thursdays, but here in Kansas on the 23rd, we had a pretty bad thunderstorm and tornado system roll through. Yesterday was a very long day. I had a thesis defense. I had an undergraduate present at a student research symposium, and then I had a banquet for my PhD student in her fellowship. And then this morning before recording, I did a survey for the Kansas Geological Survey. I did some ARC stuff for something going on. So like, I'm getting back and I need to record. I'm a little yachty. I apologize. I do my presentation. That is that. Fast forward in March, I'm just finishing up dinner with Nikki Klarman, Dr. Nikki Klarman, the state archaeologist, Marty Only, a chief Pawnee Nation Act officer, and Matt Reed, who's been on the show, tribal historic preservation officer and Chawi chief for Pawnee Nation. They had a consultation or something with KHS. They met with KU first, then went to KHS, and I met up with them all for dinner. And as we were leaving dinner, I ran into a phenomenal individual by the name of Marty Hillard. Marty is the director of community engagement at the Kansas Children's Discovery Center in Topeka. And so I was leaving, he caught me and was like, are you Dr. Shield Chief Governor? I'm like, yeah, that's me. He's like, hey, I was at the Indigenous Education Summit. And he recalled that I said that I would love to do more public outreach and work with local institutions. And he asked if I would be interested in like doing something with the Kansas Children's Discovery Center. It's a children's museum in Topeka. It's incredible. We'll talk about it later. I was like, yeah, that sounds great. And we exchanged contact information and he reached back out in the fall. And I was like, as we were chatting, I was like, hey, listen, why don't we plan something for April? Give me time to do some stuff. And April is archaeology month here in Kansas. And then Marty was like, hey, it's also Earth Day in April. Why don't we marry these two things together? I'm like, that's great. And so for the past 6 or 7 months, we had checked in every now and then. And I was thinking, like, I had never run a children's program before. Like, I'm used to running like adult events, usually adults or ancient, what we call ancient technology days. Nothing like for kids. And so I met with our exhibits team and public programming at the Natural History Museum here at KU for help. And they gave me some amazing advice. And so they're like, well, you know, these are things you need to ask Marty, like what's the age range? Like how long are we talking about? And so I'm working with professionals with my institution, like, you know, these are things you need to keep in mind. And these are metrics. So great, solid. And so something that we had played the idea with, because at this time I had a intern through the BEST program, which is like the beginning education, or BEST stands for Becoming Engineers or something tomorrow. It's like a really cool program we have here. And I always forget what the acronym stands for. And they were working the 3DAB. And I was like, well, why don't? And so I was like, maybe we could do a mock excavation. And so in December, I went and met with Marty at KCDC, Kansas Children's Discovery Center. And because he wanted me to do with this like dino dig pit. And I was like, what the hell? Dino dig pit? Like I'm trying to divorce archaeology from dinosaurs. But they had this huge sandbox. Mind you, there was like a sculpture of a dinosaur skull fossil in the pit and some things around. But it was like a really large sandbox. And I was like, I think we can run a couple excavation units in here. And so that's where mine went. And so I went back and over the spring working with my intern, we decided we're going to have 4 2x2 excavation units was the plan. And each unit was going to have artifacts from specific periods of time within Kansas. And the idea we came up with was, okay, let's 3D print 4 different objects per unit, per time period. We'll have artifact sheets by period at different tables. Kids are going to excavate as a dig unit and then get their artifact as a group and go to each table and basically try to match their artifact with the sheet. And then that would have given the group there to talk to the kids, ask them questions about like, what do you think this means? And that and the other thing. And so that is what we ended up moving towards. So we had a Paleo-Indian unit, an archaic unit, a woodland unit, and then we had a colonial unit. I just skipped Plains Village because colonial is kind of part of that, but I wanted something like really different. And so my idea was like, why don't we have a diagnostic projectile point or two, especially for like archaic and Paleo-Indian. And then let's also try to get like a diagnostic, like animal bone that people would have been hunting. So you know, there's differences. And I put my intern on the task of that. And we did a couple rounds of trying to isolate it. And mind you, my intern only works through this program, like I think like maybe 8 hours a week through this program. So like there wasn't like a lot of time, and the printing time was also part of this. And so what we ended up coming up with is, so for the Paleo-Indian unit, we were able to print a mammoth tooth, a Colombian mammoth tooth, like a quarter of the size, which is still pretty big because at this point we hadn't had our new printers yet. We're still using this older resin printer. A fluted Clovis point for Blackwater Draw, a Clovis point from Kansas. And we also did a Folsom point. So like that was the more, and the points were to scale. The archaic unit We had a bison horn, kind of like a Pelican Lake point, like those really large corner notched archaic points. We had like a late archaic. We had a, like a Nebo Hill point in there too, which is like late archaic. And then we also had like an archaic beveled knife. Okay. For the woodland, I wanted like a deer antler, corner notch points, a piece of woodland conical pottery. And we also threw in like a Mississippian point in there. I don't have the list in front of me, but I was cracking up and I'll get back to that. And then for the colonial period, we did a metal arrowhead, woodland plains village pottery, a horse mandible, and a metal axe head. And so but I was cracking up with some of the animal ones we couldn't really get to scale. Like the bison horn would have been like from a small, maybe like baby bison. And the deer antler, I cracked me up because when my intern's like, oh, I printed the deer antler. And I'm thinking, did they print an actual like whole deer antler? Because what I tried to do was like, well, just use Blender and cut it up in a blender and print different pieces of it. And we can glue it together. No, so they just printed a miniature deer antler. But it wasn't a deer antler. It was an elk antler. And so I have this like mini elk antler and I was cracking up and I was like, where did this come from? And the student was like, oh, that's a deer antler. I'm like, have you seen deer antlers before? She's like, well, this looks like a deer antler. I'm like, dude, this is an elk antler. These are very different, but it was fine. I was like, the kids aren't going to know the difference. Like, I just thought it was funny, but we have this like miniature elk antler that's maybe like the size, like if you open up your hand and spread your fingers, it's probably as long as where your pinky is to your thumb. It is the cutest little 3D printed elk antler. And so, and then we made these, I had the student and they did really well on this, make these time period sheets, which included like the name of the period, the date ranges and the four objects and their outlines. And so that way kids could match them up. And we're going to talk about how it actually happened in practice here after the break. And we're back with episode 41 of the Great Plains Archaeology Podcast. So we get these education kits like put together. And so like my thought process was like, this should be something that any kid can enjoy because Marty, it's a children's museum. It was a weekday, but the students were supposed to have off for some reason in Kansas. And so we were expecting anyone from like 4 to 12, which is a really hard group to make like specific programming for. So I figured this should be fine, like an excavation. And then each of the excavation units, like the matching sheets, came with an instructor guide of like, these are questions you can ask kids. And so as we got closer, Marty reached out and was like, hey, there's this professor at Haskell Indian Nations University in their School of Education for the College of Education and Health Sciences that's like, we've been chatting with, would you like to meet? And so we did. And her name was Professor Kristen Fish, Cherokee Nation of Oklahoma. And so she wanted to help out and I told her what we were doing and she was going to bring some students. And so thought it was great. Like, yeah, let's definitely, you know, increase, like do something with a Haskell professor and their students who are working on education. And so I put out a call for some volunteers to help out. And so my graduate student, Michaela Williams, of course, she came. My recently defended master's student in museum studies, Maddie, she came out and I had, how many more? I think I had like a couple more volunteers, like undergraduates. So I also like told my Great Plains Archaeology class, like, hey, if you want an extra credit opportunity on Wednesday, think about this thing. Because like all these kids at this point, like knew the material. I'm like, these are a lot of the same things we're talking about, but for children. And I had like four or five students sign up for it and they were fantastic. So I had a small little army. Professor Fish and her two students came out. So I think there was about like 9 or 10 of us, to be honest. I think, yeah, there's 11. And we set up 2x2 meter grids. So we had 4 2x2 meter grids. I brought out line. But it was like a sandbox. There's nowhere to anchor them. But like Marty allowed us to use these like sand buckets. They had a bunch of them. So we like made these little units that way. And we're trying to set up as the place is already open. And so there's already kids trying to like in the sandbox or like in and around. And we're trying to set up and like they're trying to play in them already. We're like, no, guys, we're just trying to set up for a program. So it's already a little bit of chaotic at first. But then we got set up like really early. The event didn't start till 10, or it didn't start till 11, but I had everyone get there by 10 because I was like, I don't know how long it's going to take. Marty was fantastic. He brings out all these tables by himself, and I'm like, we get out. And the event, we kick it off, and kids are going nuts over this. And so one of the other interesting things about this is when I was put out a call for volunteers, I let museum studies and Indigenous studies know, and one of their staff members asked if they could come because they have a background in elementary education. I was like, yeah, absolutely. You should definitely join. And so like, once again, I don't have a background in education. I don't have my own kids or like kind of know how children work, like their minds. And so Margaret was actually really good about talking to each of the groups like, hey, based on age level, like the way Dr. Shieldchief has these arrayed, like these are based, like you can go further, you can go down the list. The questions towards the top of the list are so broad and generic that's good for little kids. And you can keep going down the list for older kids. And so the way we had it set up is I had myself, Professor Fish and Michaela were kind of floaters. And then we had each excavation pit had two people. And so they would monitor, they would get like a group of kids, excavate their 2x2, they'd find their projectile points, and then they would go table to see if they matched. And when they got to the time period that matched, they would talk to the kids about it. Dude, these kids were like insane. Some of them were digging so deep. I was like, I don't know why I thought in my head we were going to be able to get the kids, these really excited children, to excavate slow and methodically. Like, no, they were like taking the trowels and just digging as deep as they could go. A couple times we ended up like losing some of the projectile points because they were thin. And so like the 3D printed ones, so like we're like, oh wow, some of my excavation leaders like really buried them too. So we were also learning as this whole thing was going on about how this was going to work. And of course, some things were just super easy to find, like the contact period folks that had a horse jaw, not just a mandible, but a combined mandible. So like digging that, kids find that super quick. But that was also the unit that had the metal arrowheads that were like incredibly thin. And so like those got lost. The Folsom point got lost. And it just also depended on the kids. Like it was supposed to be one kid finds an object and then they wait patiently for the buddies to find him. That was not happening. And then also like I imagined everyone would be like on an edge of the unit digging in. Nah, of course not. Why would they? Why would I have thought this? They were like in there on top of each other. They're trying to dig over each other at times. Like they were so excited. And so it's also like learning to like, how do we mitigate risk as much as possible? And while we were doing our units, one of the volunteers for the Kansas Children's Discovery Center had their own table out there too about what contemporary people in 2026 are leaving behind that's going to show up in the archaeological record. So I had this fantastic like tie-in with the Earth Day aspect of the program to talk about plastics and littering. And so that was like a really fun tie-in to what we were doing. And the event itself was only like 2 hours, and we had mostly dealt with like two field trips that went to the museum that day. So they were out, like we're outside. It wasn't sunny. We had overcast, but it wasn't raining. It was actually perfect weather. Like it was warm, but we weren't scorched. And so like an hour and a half in, like we started early. So we did like about 2.5 hours before it really petered off. And we were just kind of hanging out, having a good time. My students were crushing it. And Marty's like, hey, I think this is kind of done. Everyone's at lunch. We can pack up early. And so we did. And then he was like, do you guys want to check out the museum? And watching all these grown adults, like these are college students that are like juniors and up, and then grad students go nuts at this children's museum, it was like really heartening to see. And like, I reflected back myself when I was doing my museum study certificate at CU Boulder, and we got to visit the Denver Children's Museum on a day that were closed, and they gave us an hour to explore. And it was like one of the funnest days I had in grad school to have a children's museum to myself, to like really appreciate what was going on. And it was cool to see that. And although part of this activity, there was the excavation and then there was like match the artifacts and try to be educated about them, the second half lacked at times with the kids. One, giving kids love getting stickers. So we were giving stickers out left and right to kids doing this stuff. But like hoping that is a moment that sticks with them. And then maybe if I'm still at Kansas in like 15 years, there might be some kids who were at that event who might remember it. And I really had a good time. My students did. And I told Marty, I was like, this was a blast. If you invite us back, I think I have some tweaks for this. And it seems like this is might be an annual thing that we do, this event. It was a lot of fun. And we're going to build some more ties, I think, with the education department. Because like then I also nerded out with Professor Fish about like history and like, and this is all happening in the context of I was able to talk about these, you know, excavations, these mock excavations a little bit more intensely because I'm teaching the Great Plains Archaeology class, which you guys have heard it this many times. So like, it's all in my head, ready to go. But I hope it's impactful, right? And talking and in the future, running this kind of hitting the point of like, leave things alone. If there was more kids doing something different, but I think this was a slam dunk all in all. I want to give like a huge shout out to Marty Hillard, who's the director of community engagement for Kansas Children's Discovery Center in Topeka. They just got a huge expansion. I really want to talk about this museum. If you're in the Kansas area, they have like a whole backyard system. They have like this full blown tricycle track. They have a wooded area that has fairy houses and like this massive playground. I can't express how incredible both their indoor and outdoor exhibits are. It is an incredible museum. They have kind of like this whole grain exhibit. They have like automotive industries. Of course, they have dinosaurs. They have a makerspace. But like if you're in the area, give these folks a look-see. If you have kids, they, you know, they're outdoor, especially in the spring. They have toddler town. They have 4.5 acres for outdoor space there that wraps around the campus. And it's just awesome. I can't express that enough. It is just an awesome place. They have tree houses in the back, native prairie grass and wildflower habitat. And these events as a whole for Great Plains Archaeology, like these are important. You know, a lot of kids, you, and if you listen to Ruins and other archaeology podcasts, you hear a lot like, how'd you get into archaeology? It's a lot of people who are like finding points at grandparents. And you rarely hear about people being introduced to archaeology, especially Great Plains Archaeology, through like children's programming. And so what I was hoping to do with this is kind of introduce archaeology, like ethical archaeology, early on. So their first experience isn't through class or through artifact hunting or looting, right? And so like a hope of mine as being the curator of archaeology for the flagship institution, a flagship institution in Kansas, is to be more engaged with the public this way of like the do's and don'ts of archaeology, as well as creating these fun programs that stick with kids' minds. So I had a fun time. I'm going to put a link to Kansas Children's Discovery Center down below if you ever want to check it out. If you guys have ideas for other episodes, it's been hectic at KU. We're closing out the year. It is thesis and dissertation defense time and graduation time. And so like my mind is macaroni and cheese right now. And yeah, that's it for me this week, guys. I hope you stay safe out there, especially if you're in a tornado alley. Tis the season upon us for tornadoes. It's been a blast here. I'm exhausted. I'm purely exhausted. All right. I will see you guys on the next episode of Great Plains Archaeology Podcast. Take care. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Great Plains Archaeology Podcast. You can follow me on Instagram at Pawnee_archaeologist, and you can also email me at greatplainsarchpodcast@gmail.com. And remember, anybody can love the mountains, but it takes a soul to love the prairie. American author Willa Cather.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. The Archaeology Podcast Network's chief editor is Rachel Roden. Our executive producer is Ashley Airy. Our social media and newsletter coordinator is Matilda Siebrecht. The APN was founded by Chris Webster and Tristan Boyle on December 1st, 2014. We're supported by our amazing podcast hosts, many volunteers, and listeners like you. Check out membership at www.archpodnet.com/members.
This has been a presentation of the Archaeology Podcast Network. Visit us on the web for show notes and other podcasts at www.archpodnet.com. Contact us at chris@archaeologypodcastnetwork.com.